Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Yeah. Dow futures lower this morning by about 185 points. Boy, gas going up. 265 average per gallon. More on your money, WTAM.com, keyword money. Coming up in trending, Cam Newton gets called out by a kid.
Yes, at his camp.
Excuse me, row 22. You want to look out the window here?
Does the engine...
Is it always on fire?
Is it flames? Are flames supposed to come from that?
Scott Scooter, he's producer extraordinaire alongside. A couple things trending for you coming up. First, Cavs looking for a win. J.J. Watt still looking for a team. Mike Snyder Sports coming up.
Expanding the Wills and Snyder universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast on our free iHeartRadio app.
Denver departure, United 328 Heavy, Mayday aircraft,
Flight just took off from Denver, United flight. You're just kind of, you know, sitting down, getting comfortable.
Sure.
Get your mask on. Somebody looks out and the engine's on fire. Not good.
Haven't even had beverage service yet.
Not good.
And you see the flames coming out of that engine. You got to be raising your hand. Excuse me, is this normal?
Did you see the big piece of that thing that landed near that house?
Yes, right in front, in the front yard.
In the front yard.
In the front yard.
Wow. Now, they landed safely.
Yes.
They're going to look at all the 777s now. Boeing's going to check this thing out. FAA's concerned. Aviation expert Jay Ratliff coming up at 6:20 will join us. I believe when we've had stories in the past about one of these engines going out, Jay will say, stay calm. You can fly across the country on one engine. I'd feel better if we had two.
Yes.
But Jay says, I think you can go on one.
Yes, I could go on one, but
especially if it's on fire.
I'd rather have two.
Anyway, we'll get more from Jay coming up at 6:20 this morning on that big story. But the video's up there if you haven't seen it. Wills and Snyder Facebook.
How'd you like to come out in front of that yard and to have that and be standing there and this thing just comes out of nowhere?
Going out to get the paper or like that. What the crap? Taking the dog out?
Oh, yeah.
All right, you can check that out. Okay, also, now this is pretty good. This is video and some audio. So set this up for me. Cam Newton's camp?
Yeah, he's hosting a football camp.
So typically he shows up, you know, these athletes have their camps. They show up like one out of five days.
I'm rich.
So this kid starts calling
him
out.
He's heckling him. Calling him, you a free agent. Now, here's the thing. That kid's got some stones. Why he's hosted a camp and then you're going to taunt him? And I guess Cam Newton said, look, talking to a child with everybody around does me no good, everybody looking. He said, so instead I told the kid, basically going back and forth, and look, I want to have a man-to-man conversation with your dad. Because he does tell him, hey, where's your dad?
The kid made some good points. Talk to the kid first. If you can sell him, then talk to the dad. That's pretty cool, though. Kid calling him out. That's good. I like that. All right, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Check him out. Post a comment. See what you think. Thanks, Scotty.
You're welcome, sir.
Coming up in 5, we'll talk to Rory O'Neill. Former President Trump got a speech on his schedule this coming weekend at CPAC. And the $15 minimum wage debate. I've got an economist CPA guy that says, look, you may feel better about it, but it's going to cost jobs. More in depth on that in 5 for you on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, WTAM 1100. 5:15, Mike in from the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk. They just can't get a win.
No, they just can't, Bill. They really can't. You'd have thought last night was the night after the first 9 games of the Cavs losing streak occurred against teams with winning records who would be in the playoffs as of today. That was not the case with last night's opponent, the Thunder. They ended the game sliding on a 3-game skid with an 11-18 record.
Horford on the right wing buries a 3.
Yeah, both of their centers, Muscala and the old man Horford, stretching that defense with 3-point makes.
Cavs just couldn't stop them any way, shape, or form. Thunder put up 117. Cavs score 101, so they've now lost 10 in a row. OKC hit 13 threes. Cavs were 8 of 35 from long distance. Cavs now 10 and 21. Only bright spot, boy, Jared Allen's playing well. The young center, 26 points, 11 of 11 from the field, but he needs some help around him, and it's just not there right now. Cavaliers will host the Hawks tomorrow night in Atlanta. knocked off Denver last night. Also from the NBA, the Timberwolves, who have the worst record in the league, have fired head coach Ryan Saunders. College basketball, the showdown in Columbus saw the Michigan Wolverines prevail with a 92-87 win over the Buckeyes. Heck of a game, though, yesterday, although the Buckeyes do come up short in that one. Also, congratulations to Cleveland State for winning the Horizon League title and the regular season title over the weekend. Now they're the top seed for the league tournament. That's coming up next week. Indians are into full squad workouts at Goodyear with the departures of Lindor, Santana, Carrasco in hand. Tribe now the third choice to win the division, and Terry Francona says,
I get it. Shoot, if I was picking teams in the NFL, I'd, you know, you only pick one team to be the best. You know, some teams overachieve, some teams, you know, things happen, guys get hurt. But I think it's on us to use whatever we can as motivation. And if that's part of it, good. What I care about is us winning. And like I said, whatever players use for motivation, I'm good with.
Cactus League play will begin Sunday afternoon as the Tribe will take on the Reds. You'll be able to hear it right here. Browns are one of the teams in the mix to sign free agent defensive end J.J. Watt, who's taking his time and making a decision. Via Twitter yesterday, J.J. said, I scroll through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant, man. You're going to have to give me a second or two to choose a new team and city. So we wait. Golf, Max Homa won the Genesis Invitational. Tiger Woods on hand to present the winner's trophy. Says that he's recovering from back surgery, has not practiced much, and isn't sure if he'll be ready to play in the Masters. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
Maybe you do for feminists.
This is a little bit of Rush Limbaugh from Letterman. Back in 1993, we posted Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com, talking about Hillary Clinton. I play this because CPAC, the big conservative groups, got their convention in Orlando, and really, Rush was the voice as far as conservative thought on radio and for so many. Bringing Rory O'Neill this morning. Big announcement, though, that the former president is going to speak to CPAC, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. By the way, I watched that Letterman clip over the weekend. It's a doozy. Yeah.
There are many people already posting that you can't say that nowadays, what he was saying on that clip. So,
well, yeah, everyone was holding their tongue on that one. But yeah. Anyway, former President Donald Trump is emerging from Mar-a-Lago. He's to come out this Sunday speaking in nearby Orlando to CPAC, as you mentioned. Not the first time he's spoken here. He's spoken there in each of the last 10 years. This time around, the event is called America Uncancelled, a reference, of course, to what's happened with the COVID pandemic that has gripped the nation. CPAC is normally held in the Washington, D.C. area, but their Maryland hotel is closed, so the whole convention upped and moved to Florida. Other speakers will include former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and even Senator Ted Cruz, who's certainly made headlines in the past few days. Everyone there in Florida will have to abide by mask rules that are in effect. They are accepting those, though, when you're eating and drinking, and the venue will provide masks and require them or ask people to leave. The former president's agenda, well, that's really his own. He's going to have about 90 minutes to speak starting at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon.
Trump going to speak. I see Pence made some news by saying no. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, he was one of several people who declined, but there are plenty of people to fill what is almost 4 days of events, including a Dallas salon owner and a New Jersey gym owner. Both refused to close their businesses because of masks. Also, the South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem, she's also going to speak there. She's defended people who haven't worn their masks. So masks will be a big topic of the CPAC, and I'm sure Rush Limbaugh will be as well.
Rory O'Neill on it this morning. Thanks much.
Sure.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Let's talk about this minimum wage debate. It seems like it's always a debate. Written a pretty good book, interesting stuff, called Positive Financial Karma. I mentioned that Mr. Geltrude would join us this morning. Daniel, appreciate your time. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So if I'm going to work this morning, making minimum wage, maybe even a buck more than that in Ohio, and, you know, 15 sounds pretty good. What's the downside? I want to raise, so let's raise it.
Well, there's a lot of downside. Of course, a lot of this is political theater, so what you hear is all the positives. But if we break this down, first and foremost, this is a tax on employers, because we have the government stepping in and saying, look, you must pay your employees a higher minimum wage. That's no different than a tax to say you must pay this tax. But there's another side to doing that. So if you look at the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, which is nonpartisan, They analyzed this situation, and here's what they said. They said if you increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour, you would have 900,000 less people fall below the poverty line by 2025. Hey, great news. There's a but. And the but is, at the same time, the number of people working would decline by 1.4 million. Now, I don't think you have to be a genius to figure out that math. You're going to lift up 900,000 to knock down 1.4 million. It doesn't make sense. And I think we will see that type of statistic becoming a reality.
Daniel, the job pays what it pays. It's market forces, no matter what you're doing when it comes to work. And if you look at the $15 number, I'm always, I mean, you know, tongue-in-cheek, well, why not 20? How about 25? Why make it 15? Plus, I mean, 15 bucks means something different in West Virginia than it does in New York City, right?
Yes, it does. So that's an argument to say, wouldn't it be best that the states establish their own minimum wage based upon where they are geographically, which, of course, is driven by the cost of living. Certainly New York City, $15 an hour, well, that's actually pretty reasonable. In other places in the country, that's a very, very high wage. So we have to really look at if the federal government's going to put this in place, then you have to really look at it on a large scale and what it means in different parts of the country. And they're not looking at it that way.
Finally, on the political front, though, if Biden wants to get this done and push this through, there's some debate whether or not he puts it a part of this big stimulus package, but he has to challenge this early in the administration, I would think, because the clock's ticking on him.
Yeah, I think this is actually something that they're pretty hot on, and I think Joe Biden and some of the other Democrats that are pushing this are prepared to use their political capital, and you only have so much of it, so you have to use it wisely. But this, to me, seems like something that they really want to do, and I think that in the end, it's going to hurt, and I'll offer one example of proof. If we look at the fast food industry a few years ago, big push by the workers demanding $15 an hour minimum wage working in a fast food chain. They ultimately got it. And what happened? Now there's less employees, and the chains have moved to using technology. And that's what we're going to see on a grand scale.
Good take. Appreciate your time, Daniel Gilter. The book that he's written, by the way, is Positive Financial Karma. It's a good read. Daniel, thanks much.
Thank you.
News you can use. News about your money.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Will. Some news we can all use on the jobs front, trying to get hired or hiring. Jordan Goodman checks in at moneyanswers.com on it. What you got for me?
So there's a whole marketplace, and people are staying at home. So that means that you can use your skills around, literally around the world, or you can hire people from around the world. One of the resources I have at moneyanswers.com is called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. And they have graphic design, writing, like blog writing, translation services, music and audio. You can do voiceovers, for example, digital marketing, video animation, like editing YouTube videos,
yeah.
Programming, anything you want. And you go on there, it is amazing. There are literally thousands of well-qualified people all over the world offering these great services at incredibly cheap prices. I feel sorry for some of these people. They're offering it for $10 or $100 or something, and very, very high quality. You see their portfolio, and vice versa. If you've got these services, you might feel stuck at home. Doesn't mean you can't be working for people all over the world instantly. So it's called Fiverr. It's a great marketplace of digital services, and that's the world we're in today, Bill.
You could work for anybody in the world, right?
And I've hired people. I hired a photographer, a guy was from Poland. I did a web thing with a woman in Bangladesh. I mean, it's all over the world.
Wow.
And these are super high-quality people, and you can rate them, and they can rate you. So in the stay-at-home world we have today, that's what's happening.
Jordan Goodman and the link. You'll find more at moneyanswers.com. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Bill.
Wall Street last week for the week, Dow 35 points. Dow futures down about 180 right now. More on your money, WTAM.com, keyword money. All right. Latest on Texas, let's get to Michael Bauer this morning. The state enjoying a warm-up, but what's the status across the state this morning?
Well, yeah, we actually thawed out a little bit over the weekend. Yesterday hit a high of 78, which is weird because just 3 days ago we were at 11 degrees. So things have changed drastically, but you still have about a third of the state remaining disrupted for water service. So that's one of the things we've heard from the state of Texas as of last night. That might change here again this morning or certainly over the next couple of days. But one of the other things, based upon all of this widespread power outage and the winter weather that we had down here, Bill, now Texans are receiving catastrophic electric bills. According to the Dallas Morning News, some Texans have been hit with power bills totaling as much as $17,000 for only a few days of electricity. And during that time frame, it may have been only partial days of electricity, which is many times more than the usual cost of power in Texas. And it's usually these residents who are getting, or businesses who are on the wholesale power plan rather than a fixed rate plan. They're looking for that flexibility when the power usage is going down, they get a lower bill. Well, in this particular case, when you have bad weather like we did in Dallas Tuesday last week, 4 degrees Fahrenheit, that was colder than Anchorage, Alaska. What happened then was you had your regular about $50 per megawatt hour charge jump up to $9,000 per megawatt hour. That's where it was capped out at. And so you've got people that are giving bills for $5,000 up to $17,000. And they say no one could have anticipated this except for the people who manage the service and the power grid. So now you've got an investigation by the governor, Abbott, who is looking into this all right now to make sure that people aren't getting hijacked when it came to their power rates. He's asking those power companies not to send out any invoices, not to expect payments, and not to shut off anybody's power until this whole thing gets figured
out. Michael, I think most of us understand the grid here in Northeast Ohio. We've got First Energy. They're sharing back and forth. It's my understanding Texas went on their own years ago, and is that a part of the problem?
That's a big part of the problem here, because when you go on your own, it's one thing. They go on your own, and then you're not necessarily sharing. When there's an outage, you don't have a connection with states close by to borrow some power from when something like this happens. So you're locked in on your own. The other part of that was that the state was told a decade ago, and every year since that, they needed to winterize. They needed to make sure that their power plants were covered for this kind of weather. But Texas said, we never get that kind of weather. We never have temperatures dipping down to 4 degrees. We don't have to worry about this, and thus let it go until the day and day that it happened.
We've seen never over the last couple of weeks. Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
You got it, Bill.
Coming up in 5, Money Monday. Do you work on your taxes over the weekend or start to put some of the paperwork together? A few tips from Melanie Ross at NCA Financial Planner. She'll join us on News Radio WTAM 1100. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Money tip in from Melanie Ross over at NCA Financial Planners. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Bill.
Tax deadline will be here before you know it. Melanie has a few answers to maybe a few questions when it comes to preparing taxes as we look back at 2020. Okay, let me ask you first. We know the April 15th deadline or what. Are there benefits to filing early, if I can?
Yes, Bill. The biggest benefits to filing early are, number one, if you're getting a refund, you'll get it a lot quicker because there's not that bottleneck in the refund system yet because you filed before everyone else. And number two, you protect yourself and your dependents from identity theft because you're giving identity thieves less time to file ahead of you, which then they can claim your refund.
I like that.
So, yes.
The pipeline can get full, so get in there early.
File early.
All right, couple things on last year. We saw a big run-up in the stock market. What might that mean as far as taxes?
We did. The stock market performed really well last year. So if you sold a stock in 2020, and I'm talking in your brokerage account, not a retirement account, for more than you paid for it, you realized what's called a capital gain, and you have to report that on your 2020 tax return. Now, if the opposite's true and you sold a stock for less than you paid for it, you realized a capital loss. This also has to be reported, but you can offset the capital losses against the capital gains.
Okay, good question, because, I mean, look, in some situations, people were looking for money last year, and they had stocks they had to sell maybe, and now come tax time, you got to figure out how it manages your bottom line. Now, here's a general question. I've been wondering about this. More and more people worked virtually. Now, I'm not going to ask you if that means they don't have to pay Rita tax, because that's a debate, but let's put that aside for just a minute. But if I all of a sudden had an office set up in my house, could that be a deduction?
Right. Bill, I have gotten this question a lot because, just like you said, many of my clients worked from home last year because of the pandemic. And what I tell them is probably not, because the rules surrounding the home office deduction are really pretty strict. For one, you have to have a dedicated area of your home that's used solely for work purposes. So it can't double as something else, like a bedroom or a playroom. And for two, your home office has to be your primary place of business. So if you're still going in the office a couple times a week, it won't count. And for free, and for three, and this is the real kicker here, Bill, even if you meet the last two requirements, you still can't claim the deduction if you're not self-employed.
Ah, there's the kicker, as they say. Way to bury the headline, but the self-employed thing, that's important.
Right.
Interesting. Exactly. And I even read an article, it was in California, a couple places, where in some extreme situations, people were buying these used tiny homes and putting them in the backyard, and that's their home office.
That's very clever. Very creative.
You get out of the house, I'm going to the office. It's just out back. But I don't know if they thought they could write it off or what. It was a strange year, and now come tax time, all those things you got to deal with. Okay, good tips. Melanie Ross, get some professional help on specific questions, but some good big questions to work through from her this morning at NCA Financial Planners. Thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
As soon as I got a clear look at it, I could tell it was the front end of an engine, a jet engine. And
debris in the yard near Denver, this guy's house. You heard the pilot there. Let's break this down with Jay Ratliff this morning, our aviation expert. Video what happened, Wills Insider Facebook, willsinsider.com. Okay, it's a big plane, 777. There's an engine on fire. What do we know here first, Jay?
Well, we know a couple of things. The Boeing 777 had what we call an uncontained engine failure. And again, Bill, every day somewhere in the world we get airplanes with, you know, maintenance issues where it stops working. They simply power it down and the airplanes can fly on one engine and the crew lands. It's a non-event, really. But when you have an engine failure that's uncontained, where you have pieces of the aircraft engine being blown outside the protective cowling, you're talking about concerns of, okay, are those pieces going to strike the aircraft? Is it going to strike the fuel tank, which is there in the wing? Is it going to sever any of the hydraulic systems that help the flight crew keep the aircraft in the air? There's so many problems that you have at that point that the crew's trying to work with. And remember, if you and I are flying that airplane, we will feel the jolt. We will see the alarms in the cockpit, but you can't, as the first officer, turn and look out the window to see what's going on. So the lead flight attendant is feeding information to the pilots saying, here's what we see visually, and they're communicating so that everybody's on the same page knowing what's going on. And of course, they declared an emergency. They returned to Denver. They were only at about, 12,000 feet at the time, so they would have been about 10 minutes into the flight. And the good news is it was a quick return back to Denver. This was a Denver to Honolulu flight. Now, thankfully, it didn't occur over the Pacific Ocean as it took place. And, the good news is there were no injuries there, nor apparently any reported injuries of any of these pieces. And there were a lot of them that were falling to the sky, some of them weighing several hundred pounds. Of course, the police had to do a very good job of helping to identify where those pieces were, Bill, so they could rope them off. Because as crazy as it sounds, those are souvenirs to a lot of people. Even in an airplane crash, that's the case. So, everyone did a good job on this. And, of course, the FAA came back and grounded the aircraft here in the United States. But United is the only one that operates the Boeing 777 with these Pratt & Whitney engines. And I think at last count they had 24 of them. So, Bill, they'll take those out of service so that the engines can be inspected to make sure that there's no problems there. Because it was in December of last year, Japan Airlines 777 had a similar situation with an engine. So this is not the first time these Pratt & Whitney engines have had a problem.
Yeah, so air traffic control Japan, Yokota Airlines grounding all their Boeing 777s to look at this. When I saw the video, look, if my wife Mindy and I are in row 22 when that happened, I'd turn to her and say, honey, Jay Ratliff tells me, don't worry, we can fly on one engine. But I don't like the idea of it being on fire. So that is the difference. We got to get down, right?
I'm about as calm as anybody could be on a flight. Had I been sitting on that window and saw that, knowing all of the things that could have happened, I would have been extremely worked up. But you know, in the video, you don't hear widespread panic.
Right, right.
And the reason you don't is because passengers feed off the flight crew. If the flight attendants look scared, we're about to die, people are going to freak out. Flight attendants, very calm, very professional. Again, you and I have talked about it for years, Bill. The training these men and women go through is incredible. and that was reflected in what took place this weekend.
Well said. Shout out to them. They're there to do more than pour you a Diet Coke. Always keep that in mind.
Thank you, brother.
Give them respect. Yes. All right. Investigation will continue. I'm sure we'll talk about this for several days. Weather around the country, how do we look if you're flying?
Bill, we have winds in Chicago and then also in some snow in Philadelphia. Those could slow us down. Delays approaching 35 or 40 minutes, and we'll go from there. Final PS on that Boeing 777.
Yeah.
There's only 128 of these in the world that are flying. I'm sorry, that are in service. And okay. Of those, only 69 flying. So it's not going to be a major event impacting commercial aviation.
Good point, and hopefully they'll get to the bottom of it. All right, Jay Ratliff, good reporting as always. Thanks much. All right, before we get to sports, entertainment news, names, notes, trending this morning, just so you know. Here's Jason Nathans.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which puts on the Golden Globes, has been accused for years of shady stuff. Joked about many times by Globes host Ricky Gervais.
As if film stars are stay away from the chance of winning a Golden Globe. Particularly if their film company has already paid for it.
Now, new allegations in a scathing LA Times article, the most serious being that the nonprofit HFPA may be paying members inappropriately in a way that might violate IRS rules. Members, again, also hit with claims that nominations can be influenced by lavish perks from studios, and the LA Times saying many of the HFPA's members aren't even actually working journalists. The HFPA says all its business dealings are ethical and legal.
You've said forever.
Olivia Rodrigo's hit song Driver's License was the subject of a funny Saturday Night Live sketch over the weekend, and the singer loved it. On Twitter, she called it the best birthday present ever. She turned 18 Saturday.
Oh, another glorious morning.
The Croods 2 top another anemic weekend at the box office, earning just $1.7 million. And Drew Barrymore is 46 today. Jason Athens and ABC News.
Ollie. And now, 5 good minutes.
Money tip, spending tip, charging tip. News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Kevin Myroff joins me at NCA Financial Planners. All right, the economy, trying to get more business, online shopping. Interesting, more and more retailers are growing by the number on a pay-later service, putting a new twist on layaway. Get your purchase now, pay for it in installments. You know, Kevin, depending on your age, almost going back to the way the grandparents bought stuff. You know, you pay so much a month down at the store every time, right?
You do, but in the real old days, Bill, you made the payments, and then once you finished, then they gave you the product.
Dozens of these national chains, including Walmart, Macy's, Neiman Marcus, so many others, are allowing you pay bi-weekly. So, consumer protection experts, if you've read about this some, they're warning us that a lot of these services are often unregulated, and you really got to be aware. So let's talk about this. Some, a few tips as Kevin has looked into this. It sounds good, but does it actually work?
Well, it can work, and the way it works is a retailer will make an agreement with some of these third parties. There's many of them out there that will allow you to spread your payments without interest over many months. So if you want to buy a $1,900 Peloton and can't afford it, you'll be able to split that over $500-$400 payments, basically.
Okay.
Over 5 months.
Okay, but why not just use a credit card, do you think?
Well, two reasons. The majority of people using this happen to be millennials. Millennials do not like credit cards. And there's interest rates, hefty interest rates tied to credit cards, and they feel like they're more in debt with a credit card than these third parties.
Interesting observation with culture. Now, but let me ask you this. You mentioned interest. So how can the third party afford to offer a payment without charging interest?
Yeah, I had to look into that. You know, so if you miss one of your biweekly payments, there are some hefty late fees and service charges. So that's one way. They also require you to use a credit or debit card to backstop your layaway plan. And remember I said that most of these millennials don't like to use credit cards? 90% of them use debit cards in order to backstop it. So if you're not making your payment, they could take the money directly out of your bank account. And also if you miss a payment, then you're cut off. You can no longer buy more things through that company.
More and more retailers offering this, Kevin, you think?
Yeah, more and more retailers are starting to do it. It's a way for them to sell more, though there's some cost to it.
Right.
Yeah, when a retailer uses a Visa MasterCard, they pay roughly 2.5-3%. When they use these services, they're paying 6%. So it is cutting into their gross margins, but they believe they're selling so much more through these layaway plans that it's worth it to them.
Interesting observation where, you know, you got to respond to the customer. And if you're looking to the millennials that don't want to use the credit card, they look at this and think, hey, this looks like a safe way at least to purchase. So with that in mind, Uncle Kevin, what do you think? Should I go this route or not?
Well, my opinion is if you're able to buy this right now with the cash that you have, then if you want to spread it over time, that's fine. But if you're using this as a way to afford things that you really can't afford, then all you're doing is created a problem. And we know many people have shopping addictions in this country. And if this just allows them to buy more, which some of the experts are saying happens, then it's not a great use. So my theory is if you can afford to buy it with cash, then you could use this to spread it over time if that makes you feel more comfortable. If you can't afford to pay cash for it, then don't buy it.
Great way to look at it. Good advice. Good info. Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planner, CEO, president over there. Good stuff. Kevin, thanks for the research, the time. Have a good day.
You bet. Great day.
WTAM 1100.
What you want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's morning news on Cleveland's News Radio. WTAM 1100.
Cleveland School CEO Eric Gordon in 10 minutes on phase one of Kids Back in the Classroom. Scott Scooter, East producer extraordinaire, alongside now. So we're on a flight, row 22, United, just took off from Denver. And you kind of elbow me. And I'm like, will you stay in your seat? Yeah, but look out there. Will you look out there?
Yeah, Denver departure, United 328 Heavy Mayday aircraft just experienced engine failure, need a turn immediately.
That's unbelievable. Looking out the window, the video.
Flames on that engine. Wow.
Flames on the engine. And you're thinking, okay, what happens next? We got to get out of the sky. Oh. Safely, they were able to land. And the calm sound of the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Through there, so you can see the video, right?
You can check it out there. Okay. And that one piece that covers the front of that part of the engine, that white circular part of the engine, that landed in somebody's yard.
The thingamajig on the whatchamacallit.
Yes.
Yeah. That thing came right down.
Yes.
Thankfully, there's no one injured.
It's crazy. Absolutely.
So they're grounded a bunch of those 777s. There aren't as many of them as you think that use that Pratt & Whitney engine, I guess, but still. Not good. So they got back to Denver okay, and the video's up there. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com.
Yes.
Right? Okay. All right. Now, we have Cam Newton, and, you know, you send your kid to a camp. These pro athletes have it. So this kid is calling out Cam Newton.
Yes, here we go.
You're a free agent. You're a free agent. I'm rich. You're a free agent. I'm rich. You're about to be poor. I'm rich. You're about to be poor. I'm rich. You're about to be poor. I'm rich. You're a free agent. I'm rich.
Cam Newton gets into this argument with his young player, targeting him about his free agency. Newton, 31, just finished up his first season. The Patriots. So now they're arguing back, and he's arguing with this kid like 10 years old.
Here he goes. Where's your dad? Where's your dad?
Well, he didn't really want to argue with the kid. He said, where's your dad?
Right.
What are you doing? Don't you have any any respect at all for this? You know, they're at the camp.
You're at the camp.
You're a free agent. Well, what's he supposed to? You know, he was with New England. I don't know what the kid wanted, what the point
to
was.
To call out the guy that's hosting the camp.
I can't imagine a 10-year-old kid going to a player's camp and then calling the guy.
You know what, though?
Hey, where's your dad?
In a long about odd way, some of these athletes are doing stuff that we don't understand why they're doing it either when it comes to disrespecting the flag or doing whatever. So why not?
Well, that's
true.
Hey,
the kid's there. Let him do whatever
he
wants.
But if you're going to his camp, why do you want to...
Hey, if you're a pro athlete and you're on my field, you better be standing for my flag too, right? And where do you draw the line? What's wrong with it?
The kid paid.
Let him yell at
him. Well, if he did,
he's paid. Yell out of my life.
Typical Snyder, supporting the athlete. Typical Snyder.
I just can't imagine me when I was a kid going to a player's camp and then calling the guy out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Seeing Otto Graham and all those guys? Or,
Well, now wait a minute.
Wills and Snyder Facebook.
Now, wait a minute.
WillsandSnyder.com.
Double. I got to defend Cam in this one. I'm sorry.
You're on Cam's side. I am too in a way.
I just think
but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When it comes to the players,
maybe if he'd have said, "Hey, what about your free? Where are you going? Where are you going?" Maybe kind of. But if you watch that, he's really
going after him.
He is.
There's no respect anymore.
Not at all.
What are these kids doing today? Wills and Snyder Facebook. WillsandSnyder.com. Check out the video. If you got any pictures when you were a kid at camp, those would be great. We post those one day too.
All right, Bill. I'll get my Polaroids out, or
Scooter's the one ripping on you, not me.
Well, I know that.
Eric Gordon.
When I'm not here, I talk to some of the other
guys. It's unreal.
They just lost their hand.
I defend you all the time. I really do. It's Cleveland School CEO Eric Gordon, kind enough to join me this morning. WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mr. Gordon, thanks for your time. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. And Friday, you gave us some news about a Phase 1 reopening as far as buildings. Tell me first what you said on Friday, what it means.
So on Friday, I actually announced a three-phase opening for schools. We're going to start on March 1st with some of our highest-need students, possibly also some of our career technical education students and some seniors who may not be on track for graduation. The following week, on March 8th, we're going to bring a large number more of our students back, pre-K through second grade, more students with learning needs and off-track ninth graders, more 12th graders. And then the following week, March 15th, we're going to bring the rest of the students who are ready to come back to school back into a hybrid mode. So over the next 3 weeks, or the first 3 weeks of March, we'll be phasing in all of the students and families who wish to return to in-person learning.
Many families listening this morning, maybe they're not in the Cleveland district. Their buildings maybe have been open or not. This has been a debatable thing for many families and districts, really, this whole school year as well as last year, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's strong opinions on both sides. We took a survey of our families. 45% of our families that responded to the survey do not plan to return their student to school. And so when nearly half of your students are likely to remain remote, that's a really complicated puzzle for us. That means running two large school systems, one remote system and one for in-person learning. So that was one obviously complicating factor. The other for us is we didn't want to bounce in and out of hybrid. We wanted to be a little bit patient until when we opened, we thought we had a good chance of staying open. And the new public health data has been improving over the last 5-6 weeks, and we're confident that that can be done now.
You mentioned that data. You and I, when we talked at the beginning of the school year, I mean, look, we were in purple. That's what you said. You just got to look at the map, Bill. You can't start right now, right?
Well, back in the fall, certainly we thought we'd be open sooner than this, but the county hit the purple rating numbers, then has been in red, and we've seen a dramatic increase, as you know, over the holidays. But since we've got into January, the data started to improve. February's been good to Cuyahoga County and to Cleveland, and we're confident that the data will continue in that trend and that once opened for those who do choose to return, we can stay open and make sure they have a stable environment and not bounce from hybrid back to remote, back to hybrid again. That kind of disruption isn't any more helpful than being in remote in the first place, in my opinion.
A couple other questions. Cleveland CEO Eric Gordon of the school is with me. Look, the governor very vocal about this. Did you and the administration feel pressure from Governor DeWine to announce this plan?
Well, the irony is that I had planned to make my announcement on February 12th, which ended up being the evening that the governor had a press conference. I delayed that because I wanted to see how the first week of vaccines were going. And so we could have had a very different conversation had I started announcing planning that week earlier. Certainly the governor has made very clear that he prioritized K-12 educators, which many governors across the country did not do, with an expectation that we get kids back. I spoke with the governor. We had a very candid conversation. And I said, you know, Governor, here are the complications we're facing. He acknowledged those. He expects me to make a good faith effort to get kids back as soon as it's safe and effective to do so. That's what our plan is doing.
There had been some debate about vaccinations and teachers. My understanding is CDC says it's really not a must. Where are you at on that front as far as teachers and vaccinations in Cleveland?
Well, vaccinations were never part of the decision-making until very, very recently. So it's an additional tool to help us, but it's not the tool to help us. Now, having said that, we're running our own vaccination clinics. We've vaccinated almost 5,000 people already, would have finished our workforce last week had the weather not delayed the vaccines. So we're going to run clinics again Wednesday and Thursday, and everyone will be through dose one. There's also a really important study out of the New England Journal of Medicine saying that 14 days after dose one of Moderna, which is what our educators are receiving, you do have 92% likelihood of immunity, even as you wait for your second dose. So, again, it is not the only tool. It was never the only tool, but certainly is a nice added tool.
Finally, Eric, you've been worried. I know. You've got 30-some thousand kids. They're depending on a structure. You've got older buildings. You've got ventilation issues and all. There's a lot to concern with this process of even reopening, right?
There is an awful lot that we've been doing all year to get ready to open our buildings. I feel very well prepared. We have a video on our website, so if a parent wants to see what a school's going to look like, they can actually take a video tour. We have addressed ventilation. We've actually bought portable air purifiers for older buildings so that, you know, we know that they're being cleaned effectively. Our newer buildings, we put in the high you know, rated filters that ensure safety. We have re-outfitted every building with sanitation stations, touchless thermometers for check-in, you know, spotted marks on the floor, desks moved apart, furniture moved around. So it's going to look and feel different, but we are ready to go.
Cleveland School CEO Eric Gordon, phase one. Next Monday, students with the highest needs, including students with learning disabilities and potentially off-track seniors, to get them back on track. Eric, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Be well.
727 News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. I want to tell you about Seta Trophy. I get to tell you about him because Alex, the Northeast Factory Director, Alex has this project local. Cavs update, Thunder 117, Cavs 101 last night. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Tim Alcorn joins us talking Cavaliers. Morning Cavs update. Brought to you by Huntington Bank. If you need guidance on your money right now, talk to Huntington. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
I have to laugh, Snipes. You've been playing a cut all morning where Jim Jones calls out Horford, the old guy. Yeah. The old guy in there, yeah. Horford. In. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Let me get a positive in here first. We got to like the 27 points from Jared Allen, guys. I mean, Tim, they found something here, right?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt they found something. He just had a tremendous ball game, and 26 actually, but that 26 is career high to go along with 17 rebounds. So Jared Allen is doing his part. There's no denying that.
But the rest of the guys, Tim, this has been a tough, I mean, really, that's putting it mildly. I mean, the average margin of defeat's been around 20 a game. And basketball is such an interrelated game. When you're not making shots, you don't tend to play as well defensively. The Cavs, right now, they're not making or stopping, are they?
Well, I would say more of the latter. They're just not stopping people. You know, you look at OKC's line last night, three of the four quarters, they had 31 points in a quarter. And the Cavaliers have to figure out a way to just tighten up on the defensive end of the floor. They're just giving up far too many points.
You know, listening to JB, I think it's like with some guys, they think they're playing hard. They got to dig deeper, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yep, absolutely. And I also heard JB last night on the post game talking about he thought they lost that game through physicality. I don't think JB, yeah, well, I know he isn't talking about, you know, playing dirty, but you got to get up and you have to play in people's shirts. You got to be physical on the defensive end of the floor. And I think other teams right now, they're just more physical than the Cavaliers.
And, you know, they rode the starters pretty hard. The bench really outscored 42-9, Tim, and that's certainly partly with the absence. They really don't have a power forward on the active right now for as they go up against teams. And it's noticeable to see the size disadvantage.
Absolutely. When Jetty Osmond is your starting four, you've got issues. And I don't mean that to denigrate Jetty. He's just not a power forward. So that's really a sore point or a spot that just isn't doing the Cavs any justice on the floor right now. They don't have that power forward. And to your point about 42-9, as you said, the starters did their job. But, man, once it went to the bench, it went downhill.
What's my Kevin Love update here as we speak on the 22nd of February?
He's out. He did some practices last week, Tim, right? And he's getting closer, but he's not been cleared to play yet.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange situation because, as you said, Mike, he was practicing full bore, and then we would see him pregame on game nights getting a lot of work in once all the guys that are active had their work in. So not sure what the holdup is.
Tim Alcorn. All right, we got what? Tomorrow night, Hawks are here, Atlanta?
Yes, yes. And they just beat Denver last night. I don't think we needed to hear that, Tim.
No, but at least we play a team out of the Eastern Conference. I mean, we have fared well against Eastern Conference teams. It's the Western Conference that has really beat us up.
Didn't the same bunch beat the Nets, right?
Yeah, our Cavs, the Cavs did, yeah.
Seems like a long
time
ago.
Well, they caught the Nets the right time, but that was a long time ago. Right. Yes, it was.
Tim Alcorn on your Cavs this morning. We'll talk to Jim Jones tomorrow morning. Tim, thanks, pal.
All righty, guys.
828 News Radio, WTAM 1100. Coming up on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, a money tip on your taxes. Starting to get the paperwork in, getting it ready. Melanie Ross with a couple things. And aviation expert Jay Ratliff, more in-depth on this amazing video. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. You can see it with the that flight took off from Denver and the engine blew up and caught on 8:57. Back in the morning at 5, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. News, sports, traffic and weather together on the 10s. Fox updates. Terry Pluto tomorrow morning at 6:50 on the Indians, Cavs, Browns, and a few tech tips from Derek Meister, too, tomorrow.